an honor to be here with you this morning. I mentioned in Sunday school that I was a Christian school administrator for 30 years. I was saved as a result of Christian education. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My parents had this little boy that had so much energy. And if I was a child today, I would unquestionably be diagnosed with ADHD. Back then, my parents didn't know what that was, so they just kind of self-diagnosed me as someone that needed strong controls and discipline. And they found this little Christian school for me, and as a result of attending the school, really, I started when I was in second grade, and 2 years later, as a result of hearing God's Word taught, and I should say, too, my parents didn't relegate their responsibility to the school. They took me to church, they read God's Word to me at the house, and I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I always felt a debt to Christian education, and I became a Christian school teacher, then an administrator, had a great ministry, thought that that's where I would be really my whole life. But 2 years ago, God moved me in a totally different direction, and I'm headed to the Dominican Republic. I'd like to share with you a little bit about the Dominican Republic. Many, you may not know exactly where it is. You see it right here in yellow. The Dominican Republic shares the island of Hispaniola with Haiti. It lies about 700 miles off the coast of Florida in the Caribbean. It is a country with a great history and tradition. It's a Spanish country, Spanish-speaking country. Dates all the way back to Christopher Columbus, who landed here in 1492. So when we talk about Columbus discovering America, this is where he came. In fact, this is a statue for Columbus there in the plaza in the capital city. Columbus is buried here in the Dominican Republic. And the capital city is Santo Domingo. It's a very large city. There are 10 million people that live in the DR. Almost half of them, almost 5 million, live in the capital city. That's about the size of Atlanta. That's bigger than Cincinnati. It gives you an idea of how big Santo Domingo is. We will be living and working in the city of San Pedro. It's about an hour east of the capital along the southern coast. About 200,000 people in the city. However, most live in humble towns and villages that dot the countryside and the mountainous area. This is one of the villages that we work with in the area. There's an old broken down lighthouse in the area. We call it the Lighthouse Village. We have a children's ministry here in this area. Actually, we have a women's rescue ministry as a result of this as well. And so, but you know, in spite of their poverty, Dominicans are happy people with dreams of a better life than their fathers that grew up in the midst of poverty and desperation brought on by political corruption and tyranny. Dominicans are hard workers. Boy, there is no job that they're not willing to do. In fact, many of them had more than one job to support their family. Nowadays, a number of them will work in offices and factories. However, the majority make a simple living off the resources of the land. These little things you see right here, this is a common occupation. These are taxis. You'll see these little things everywhere because Dominicans walk everywhere they go. But if you have to go a little further, you can catch one of these little motos, these taxis. And I've seen as many as 5 people on one of these. Okay. All right. No. Here's the taxi driver here in the front, the taxista. And behind him was a lady who carrying a shopping bag in this hand and a child in this hand. And behind her was her husband who's carrying a shopping bag in this hand and a child in this hand. And nobody's holding on except the driver. And he's only holding on with one hand because he's balancing a tank of propane right here in the middle as they're driving down the road. And you'll see all kinds of things on these little motos as they go through town. The Dominicans, although religious in its nature, Dominican Republic, very religious, but it's a country that desperately needs our Savior, who's the only one that can bring genuine peace, true hope, and happiness. It's a Roman Catholic country. It's 95-98% Roman Catholic. However, they're Catholic by tradition and not necessarily by practice. Many of them don't even know what they believe. Truthfully, though, they are very open to the gospel. They're leaving the church in hordes because they find out that the Roman Catholic Church is not meeting the real needs of their heart, not making any kind of difference in their life. So people are open to the gospel. The philosophy of Daystar Baptist Missions, which is our mission board, is rooted and grounded in the strategy of the Apostle Paul, who established churches in key cities, in key locations. and then trained and outfitted the people there in those churches to carry out the Great Commission to their own people. Iglesia Bautista in Macarís was a church along this line, started in this storefront. And within a few years, they expanded. They purchased this very large building for their church. Now, you look at it and you say, boy, that I don't know, that doesn't look like a very nice place, Wes. Because we think of churches that have steeples and so forth. But actually, in the Caribbean, this is a great building. It's a brick building. Brick buildings are unusual in the Caribbean. And the church has grown. They bought this building with their own money. Not one dime of American money went into this building. And the thing that I love about it, used to be a rum warehouse. Now it's a church. Here, Americans and Dominicans are working together to carry out the gospel throughout the country. And they were having this meeting a while back saying, you know, how can we do a better job in carrying the Great Commission and meeting the needs of our country, getting the gospel out? And they developed this strategy that they called the DR Vision. Now, DR is short for Dominican Republic, you know, and so they have the DR Vision. I have that on some banners. It's on my prayer cards. It says DR Vision. People look at that and they say, are you Dr. Vision? I'm not Dr. Vision. That would be your local optometrist. That would be a great name for him. That's the name of our strategy. And now, in order to understand the DR Vision, which has multiple facets, what you have to understand, you've got to understand baseball. Because baseball is not a game in the Dominican Republic. Oh, baseball is life. In fact, baseball is so big in the DR that every team in the major league has a baseball academy in the Dominican Republic, where they recruit, train, house, prepare baseball players to play pro ball. It's so big that parents often encourage their boys to drop out of school when they get to be about 11 or 12 years old. Just go work on your baseball, because that seemed to be a way out of poverty. So one of our ministries is a baseball ministry. We're using this as a sports evangelism tool. We have right now about 150 boys from ages 8 through 18. And we have coaches that played college ball here in America. Some of them played ball in the Dominican League professionally. We have one that played AAA ball here in America. And good Christian men who are there teaching the boys how to play the game. They're playing multiple games. But at the same time, we're teaching them about Jesus Christ. We're winning boys to the Lord through baseball. That gives us an opening to get in their homes, reach parents, get them into church, win them, and disciple them. And by the way, I should say that one of the rules, if they're going to be involved in the baseball ministry, one of the rules, too, is you're not allowed to drop out of school. So we're keeping the kids in school at the same time. They had a burden to start a Christian school a few years ago. All the schools there are so poor, the public schools, the state-run schools, they don't have enough books for the children. What books they have are old, they're missing pages. They can't send them home with the kids because they're afraid they won't come back. And so parents, many times, they enroll their children in another school, in a private school that they're willing to pay for with their limited funds. They can pay a certain amount, but they want a bilingual school because they want their children to learn English. But all the schools are Catholic. So children are learning Catholic doctrine and catechism from a young age. We said, we've got to do something about that. So they started Palms Christian School. Here, we have Dominican teachers as well as American teachers, Christian teachers, that come down for a year or two, 3 years, and stay and teaching the boys. And we have their teaching classes. Some classes are taught in Spanish. Other classes are taught in English. So it's bilingual. The children are learning English and Spanish. And they're getting a Christian education. But at the same time, we're teaching them about Jesus. And we're seeing boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ as Savior through the school, which is exactly what happened to me. When the school started, they went up through fourth grade the first year, and they had 43 students in the school. And the next year, they added fifth grade, and they more than doubled in size, had 95 students. They said, wow, we've got to do something. They outgrew this facility. They went around the corner. They found this large abandoned mansion. And they leased this mansion, fixed it up, and said, boy, this is going to be great. This will last us for several years because in this building, we can hold 200 kids. And the next year, they added sixth grade, and they had 210 kids in that year. So last year, they got ready to add, they redid some things at every corner, and they added seventh grade, they had 290. This year they added some rooms on top of this, and they have about 330 kids this year. So real, one of the real needs, they are trying to buy another building because they could expand 500 kids very easily. I was a Christian school administrator in Atlanta at a larger Christian school, and a tragedy came my way. My wife of 32 years went to be with the Lord. And when Peg passed away, I began taking students from our Christian school on missions trips to the Dominican Republic. You know, we did all the things we always did. You know, we did construction projects, we did yard work, we did painting, cleanup, we took puppets with us, and we did puppet shows for the children, and we did musical programs, we had a sign language choir, we went to the schools, and we did the same things there as in the schools and churches, we went out to the villages, and we did Bible lessons, did tract distribution, we had crafts with them, and while I was there, I learned about the DR vision. And they took us out to this property that was sitting outside of town. There were 46 acres here outside of town. The government owned this property and came to them and said, hey, we have 46 acres. Are you interested in buying that? And they said, wow, we need this land. And they said, well, you can buy it. Here's the price. And they said, oh, wow, that's too much. We can't buy that. The government said, well, that's the going rate. I mean, we could sell this to anyone. They said, we just can't. So for over a year, the government tried to sell this land to someone else. 13 months later, they came back to the ministry and said, look, are you still interested in this land? I said, well, yeah, we are, but we told you we just can't pay that price. I said, well, we've cut it. It's 50% of what it was last year. So they bought this property. 3 months after they bought this property, across the street from them came the Atlanta Braves, who built their baseball academy here. Here, the Dominican Braves, they have 50 boys who live here that they're training to play professional baseball. And then, right next door to the Atlanta Braves, came the Texas Rangers, who built their baseball academy here. Now, by the way, if you want to know, Cincinnati Reds Baseball Academy is about an hour away in Boca Chica. I have no idea where the Cleveland Indians is. I don't know where that one is. So work began on the property, prepare it for use. And so there's an ordinance in the Dominican Republic that before you can develop land commercially, you have to have a wall that goes around your property to protect your property line. If you can imagine a wall that goes around 46 acres, just about 3 years ago, that wall, 3.5 miles long, was completed. And so now work is beginning on this property, which will hold baseball fields for the baseball ministry, a Christian high school, a Christian college, dormitory space. Oh, right here are children's homes. We have a boys' home and a girls' home, too, orphanage there. And so the plan is to put a dozen of them in, outdoor athletic facilities and so forth here on this property. I remember when we were there back a number of years ago, I had the students, and one of the mission leaders said, Wes, I want you to take your students, spread them out over this property, break in groups of two, and have them pray for the DR vision for this property. Pray that God would help us to send the resources to help us develop this this property. But most important, we need you to pray that God would send the people, because our vision here is so big, we can't do this on our own. You know what they were asking us was exactly what Jesus said to his disciples when he had them on the mountain and said, pray for the Lord of the harvest that will send forth laborers into the harvest. I remember there was this tree out there in the middle of the property. I walked under that tree. I was just looking for some shade at the time. But I began to pray, Lord, if I'm asking you to meet the needs of the DR vision. Help them in developing this property. But Lord, they've asked most of all that you would send the people here, send the laborers that they need. And Lord, would you meet their need? When I prayed that simple prayer that day, I had absolutely no idea that God would end up sending me. My ministry is one of the final phases of the DR vision, and that is development of a Bible college here on that property. Here are two of the young men. We do have a Bible Institute right now. We want to expand it into a full Bible college. Here are two of the young men that believe God's called them to be pastors. But we can't send them to one of our fine Bible colleges here in America. Because if we do, they become Americanized. And they want to stay right here in America. We have to train them on the field. They're young ladies that would love to be involved in working in children's and women's ministry and would love to attend Bible college. The truth is that nationals can do the job better than we Americans can. They can charge, plant churches faster. They're more effective. They can do it cheaper than we can. But they must be well trained. The government has heard that we're planning on starting a school, and they've asked us in the future if we even do an education program that we could train Christian teachers that they could hire for their school, their state-run schools, because the schools are open for evangelism there. And that's pretty exciting. And so that is our ministry of planting churches by training nationals to do the job. We believe that we can plant hundreds of churches by preparing nationals to do this job. We have interns that come down and spend the summer with us each summer. Many times, about 20, 25 young people. And many of them, after coming down and being there for the summer, a number of them have said, you know, we believe God's calling us into missions. And boy, if we had the Bible college here, we could study missions on the mission field. Isn't that a great place to study missions? You wouldn't take cross-cultural courses in a classroom. You'd live it every day on the mission field. They'd do multiple internships. They'd graduate completely bilingual in Spanish. So now we're impacting all of Latin America, not just Dominican Republic. When I surrendered and said, Lord, if this is what you'll have me do, I'll do this. You know, I can do this. I'm a single man. That's not a problem. If you want me to do this, I can do this. And the Lord, it was as if the Lord said, no, you can't, stupid. And while I was on deputation, I met Maria Mercedes Oviedo Wheatcraft. Maria is from Ecuador. She had come here to the States. She was married to an American. Her husband, Dale, had been a layman in a Baptist church. And her husband had passed away. She had been a widow for 15 years when we met. I had been a widower for 6. And God just brought us together. And about a year and a half ago, on my birthday, we got married. We got married on my birthday. That was a great birthday present. Guys, I'll never forget my anniversary, you know. And so, you know, now it's not my ministry anymore. It's our ministry. And sweetheart, come on up here for a minute. I'd like you to come. And she's a little bit shorter. Could we use this microphone? There you go, darling. I'd like you to hear my wife's testimony.
I was born and raised in Ecuador. Ecuador is a Catholic country, so I went to Catholic school. I was raised as a Catholic. And I came to know the Lord through the ministry of Christian radio. HCJB was an American missions ministry. And my dad used to listen to that when I was little, and I would listen to it with him. And when I grew up, I continued to listen to that station as I got ready to go to work every morning. That's how I learned the truth of the gospel and received the Lord as my Savior. When I came to live in the United States, I used to write to my family. I wanted to win them to the Lord. And so I would quote scriptures and write testimonies in every letter. And I didn't hear anything back from them for many years about that. But I, years later, I received a letter from my mom that said that as a result of reading my letters and my testimonies, she had received the Lord as her Savior. And since then, both my brother and my sister have been saved. They attend Baptist churches over there. And my sister also teaches discipleship classes at her church. So I am very grateful for missionaries because I was saved as a result of their work.
Thank you, sweetheart. And now, this little lady who was saved as a result of American missions is headed to the mission field herself. God's plan is really amazing, isn't it? And just what He does. And I hope that you'll stop by our table that's out in the vestibule, and you can pick up one of our prayer cards and pray for us. If you'd like to get our e-newsletter, I have a place you can sign up, put your name and put your email address. Please write legibly so I can read that. And we send that out every other month. We'd want for you to know what the Lord's doing. And we've just been on deputation just barely 2 years. We're sitting at 93%. We leave for the field January the 13th. Just after Maria's daughter graduates from college on the 15th of December, and we leave about a month later. And so if you'd pray for us and pray for our daughter too, because we have to, you know, I'm a daddy of boys. Now I have a daughter, and trying to get a little girl established place and okay for a mom going to the field out in different countries. So her name is Anna. So if you would, if you think to pray for Anna, we'd appreciate that. Take out your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to turn this off.